Jesus said to Mary, "Your brother will rise again." To God, all-loving, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen. Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Did you know that it is possible for a person to change? Did you know that it is possible for you to change? This is one of the most powerful and perhaps outrageous claims of the Christian way, the way of Jesus, that we are not stuck in what our spiritual ancestors likened to miry clay. We are not doomed to live a static life predetermined for us. For Christians, fate is not an invisible dictator of a joyless life, but an amazing adventure where we have agency, choice, freedom, and where the things we do and say matter. Of course, there are things that are easier to change and things that are tougher to change. And this is probably relative to the person experiencing it, but it is easier to change a habit than to, say, change a belief or a perception of another person or a perception of yourself. It is easier, still tough, but easier to stop a habit like smoking or biting your nails than to stop a way of thinking that might have you convinced that you are worthless or that a certain group in society is lazy or that you got what you deserved or that they got what they deserved or that God has abandoned you or that God takes sides or that there is no good future for this world. Give me an opportunity to stop biting my nails or watching too much YouTube any day. I'll nail that change. I've discovered I'm actually pretty good at Lent. I haven't looked at the endless cycles of news on my phone once, but change my way of thinking about myself or someone else or the world? That's tougher. There are things that are easier to change and things that are tougher to change, but always, always, always for the follower of Jesus, there is the possibility of change. Change is possible. We have seen this motif throughout our long but beautiful stories from the Gospel according to John this Lent. The unnamed Samaritan woman at the well confronted Jesus and was changed. She went from being an outsider in her community to being a source of joy and wonder. The unnamed man born blind confronted Jesus and was changed. He went from being blind, of course, to seeing, but more importantly, he changed from being an outsider to being a welcomed friend of Jesus. His story of change was met with deep resistance and hostility, a theme we will touch on in a moment, but he moved from one way of being into another way of being, and like the other two stories, Lazarus experienced change. He was a man who was sick, we know not from what, and who succumbed to his sickness. He died. He confronted Jesus, or rather, Jesus confronted him, at the door of his tomb and cried out, "Lazarus, come out!" And he changed from one who was dead to one who is alive. Incredible change. Impossible? Well, not if you have ever confronted Jesus or have been confronted by him. In Jesus, change is possible. We can read the story of Lazarus and his resurrection as a story of the possibility of change. The incredible story of Lazarus is a story of someone moving from a dead life to a resurrected life. We don't know how he died, and we don't know why he died. Maybe Lazarus became dead in his heart. Maybe he went through an incredible rough relationship and could see no future for him, and so he let his heart die, unable to give or receive affection. Have you ever died in this way? Have you ever seen someone die in this way? It is a terrible death to die in one's heart, to believe that people or oneself is no longer lovable. It is all too common. Human relationships are always being tested and strained. Be they romantic or familial or platonic relationships, they're all the same. They are tough, and sometimes they end. And sometimes they end badly. And when this happens, it is like a death has occurred. A death in the end of the relationship, but also, and perhaps more seriously, a death in the heart of the one suffering, that they are unlovable or will never find a connection like that again. Maybe that's how Lazarus died. He died in his heart. Or maybe it was a soul death. A soul death is a death of hope or of a good future. A soul death is when one feels completely abandoned, maybe by their community, maybe by God. A soul death is a terrible death. I wonder if you have ever experienced a soul death. I wonder if you've ever known someone who has experienced a soul death. I see soul deaths all the time. They are perhaps the most common sort of death I see as a priest. Someone might come talk to me about how their world or the world is doomed and they see no good future. Someone might tell me their story of being spiritually abused at another church and believe there's no place for them in any community. They have been abandoned in their spiritual life and see no more hope. It is a terrible thing to know that the church, the people of God, have been a source of many people's soul death. I think of survivors of residential schools, abuse, those kicked out of faith communities for being gay, for being a lesbian, for being trans. For a faith that proclaims the resurrected life of Jesus Christ, we sure have been responsible for the soul deaths of many. Maybe that's how Lazarus died. He died in his soul. Or maybe it was a mind death. Yikes, this is a tough one. A mind death is when our way of thinking about things, the world, ourselves, God, Jesus, needs to change. When we can no longer think the same thoughts or have the same opinions we once had. I wonder if you have had to face a mind death before, a death in your beliefs or in your thinking. When what you have been taught about God or Jesus no longer makes sense to you and you have to change how you think. A mind death is when you find it impossible to make the change, when you just stop thinking about those things. Instead of working through a new way of thinking about God or Jesus or being a Christian, you find it easier to spend your time thinking about different things. And that God, Jesus, Christianity stuff just fades into the background until it is safely and securely buried. I think of survivors of religious fundamentalism here. Oh, how tough to change one's mind when built into the institution of fundamentalism is a deep-seated warning one must never change one's mind. I'm so grateful to be part of a living Christian tradition here where changing one's mind and wondering about God and Jesus and the church and ourselves is a constant process. It's not an end. But maybe Lazarus had a mind death, and he just couldn't think of the world or God or his friend Jesus, who didn't come when he was asked to come anyway, by the way, in a new way. And so he died. And maybe it was a strength death, a death in his courage, we might say. I wonder if you've experienced this. Maybe Lazarus found following Jesus just too tough. He saw what happened to the man born blind, how he was thrown out of community and left all alone, and he said to himself, I can't go through with this. Maybe he saw the Romans or the religious leaders of his day trample down those who asked too many questions or called them to live more justly and said to himself, I don't think I can say anything about that. Maybe he was like those in South Africa in the middle of the last century who witnessed racist laws and an abuse of policing and were too afraid to say anything in case they were lumped in with the rest. Maybe he was like us who in our day see someone mistreated, marginalized, bullied, made fun of, dismissed, and put down for whatever reason, and we don't say anything to stop it or do anything to help. Maybe Lazarus died in his strength. He just didn't have the courage to carry on following Jesus any longer. We don't know why Lazarus died, and we don't know how he died. We do know that Jesus heard he was sick, and that by the time Jesus arrived, it seemed too late. Lazarus was already locked away in his tomb, completely detached from love and hope and insight and courage. He was dead. I'd like to share three things that the amazing story of Lazarus could teach us about the possibility of change, of coming back to life. First, there are people praying for you and who love you. You are not alone. People see you and they care about you. They will do what they can to help you. They will call for Jesus to help you. They will mourn alongside you. They will shake their fists at heaven for you. They will remove whatever hindrances are keeping you from life. You are loved. We see this in Lazarus's sisters, Mary and Martha. I wonder who your Mary and Martha are. Who are the people around you praying for you and who love you? Take a look around here, too. Here is a place of people praying for you and loving you. The second thing, Jesus is coming to help you, to give you life. But sometimes the only way to get to Jesus is by going through death. Sometimes we have to die. In our affections, in our hope, in our beliefs, in our courage. I wonder if we spend so much time avoiding these kinds of deaths that we make it worse for ourselves. If you find yourself dead to love, tell God you are dead to love. If you find yourself dead to hope, confess to God you're dead in your hope. You have no more hope. If you find yourself dead in past belief systems, let God know. If you find yourself losing courage, admit it. Sometimes we need death to happen before life can begin. This is an old Christian bit of wisdom. It's what baptism is about too, remember? In baptism, we die with Christ to live again in him. Do not be afraid of evil. Face it, because goodness is stronger. Do not be afraid of hate. Look at it in its dead, cold eyes, because love is stronger. Do not be afraid of darkness. Light is stronger. And do not be afraid of death, for life is victorious over it through Jesus Christ. Sometimes we have to die in order to find the life that comes after it. The third thing, Jesus is capable of making us live again. We know this because Jesus is, according to the same person who wrote the Lazarus story and according to our spiritual ancestors, the ancient Word of God that existed before death. He was in the beginning with God, and through him all things were made. Change is possible. Life beyond the deaths we face is possible because we have a friend and a helper in Jesus. You can love again. You can hope again. You can believe again. You can have courage again because the one who gives us life is before death, has gone through death, and is beyond death. Just one more thing. The powers of the world, we might call it evil or sin, hate change. Change is threatening. Change means that where you once were being controlled, you now are no longer being controlled, and the powers of the world hate not controlling us. This is why the man born blind was cast out of community, because the change he had was threatening. If we were to read further in the story of Lazarus, we would read that the powers of this world sought to kill him again because his change, his new life, was threatening to their control of the world. So don't be surprised when you live again to love that people will roll their eyes. Don't be surprised when you start to hope in the good future of the world that people will try to tear you down. Don't be surprised that when you start to believe new things, that people will accuse you of betrayal. Don't be surprised when you begin to have courage again, that people will try to frighten you. It's going to be okay. because goodness is stronger than evil. You can say it with me. Love is stronger than hate. Light is stronger than darkness, and life is stronger than death. Victory is ours through Christ who loves us. Amen.